rights among these of life, liberty, truth, happiness. I thank God that they closed that document by pledging for its success their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And I thank God for the men, the patriots who fought to make this country a free nation or a republic. I thank God for their sacrifices, and today I honor all who have supported the freedom of this country by serving in the military, many of them making the supreme sacrifice, and I am aware that that is still going on, and I join you in praying for the welfare of all of our service personnel today that serve in the various branches of service and are giving their utmost to keep our nation free. And yes, I knew all of these things, and I'm for it. But in selecting the message for the morning, I ask myself this: what is the most important thing that I can do? What is the most important thing that this congregation can do for America today? And I came to the conclusion, based upon 2 Chronicles 7:14, it said, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and what? And pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways." I'm convinced that the most important thing we can do today for America is to heed God's command to pray and to learn how to pray and how to pray for one another. If you turn to James 5:16, you will hear James, the half-brother of the Lord, say, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another." And if you read the next verse, it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so we need to learn to pray one for another. Now let me say, and I'm not criticizing, we do a half good job in praying for the sick. James said, if any are sick among you, let them call for the church to come and anoint them in oil. And I don't have time to cover that today, but and to pray for one another. And so we are to pray for the sick. But I'm convinced that many times our prayer goes unheard because really it's a selfish thing. It's less concern for that person who's sick, more concern about the boy that's going to leave if God heals them completely. Because the only complete healing that'll ever allow for sickness after is for God to take the person home and leave himself. So we need to be careful what we ask for. Sometimes when we are asking for the welfare, we're asking for the healing of a person. Really, our prayer just prolongs the misery for them for some time to come. So I'm glad the Apostle Paul said, when we don't know what to pray for, as we all, that the Holy Spirit entered in. And he intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This morning I prayed for a very dear friend, and I had to say to God, "God, I don't know what's best for that person, but I take comfort in the fact that you love this person more than family could ever love, more than I could ever love. You're smarter than any doctor. You know all of what's up here. So, Lord, in your mercy and grace and love and power, do unto this one as seems good in your sight. I commit this one to you." But we need to learn to pray. In the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, he says that Jesus was in a certain place praying. And when he had finished praying, the disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray." Now this is amazing to me. They have seen Jesus walk on water. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen seen him raise the dead. They had seen him turn water into wine. They didn't ask for knowledge of how to do those things. But they were so impressed with Jesus' prayer life and the results of those prayers that they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And thus we have again a duplicate of the model prayer that's found in Matthew in this 11th chapter. Our Father, which art in heaven, in the old King James, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice something. Prayer is not just a one person God have, or we each must come to pray, but our interest, our desire, our request ought to extend far beyond just our wants and our self-involved in our thoughts. When you pray to God and expect an answer, get things right between you and your fellow man. Because he's our Father, that means if they're born again people, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And although we may dislike some of the things they do, we are to love them. And in our prayer life, we are to be as concerned about them as anyone else. But teach us to pray. Jesus gave us a model to go by. He outlined some of the legitimate requests that we can make to God in prayer. But I'm impressed with the prayer life of the early church. Immediately after the crucifixion and the resurrection and after the day of Pentecost, when the church really began to express itself, Peter and John were put in jail. They were delivered and they went to the group. They were threatened, though, that they'd never speak anymore in that name. And when they went and they told the church gathered in a home what had happened and of the orders from the priest, they prayed. I can imagine what they could have prayed. Now, Lord, you heard their threatening. Now, strike those rulers to death. Make it easy for us, Lord. We don't want to suffer. No. They prayed, you have heard their threats. Therefore, give boldness to your servants that we might do what? Speak the word of God. Much of our prayer life for our churches should be that God would give us of his Holy Spirit, and as he did that day, shake us and shake the place where we are with visible proof of his presence, and that he might endow us with wisdom and knowledge how to speak his word as we walk. You pray for Edgar. Find a model in Ephesians 6 when he said, pray for us. Pray for me that I might speak his word boldly as I ought. But let's think about praying one for another. You know, about what I hear in prayers, and I hope God is hearing this more. When we pray for others, it goes something like this. Lord, bless all those who desire to pray for us. That's not praying. It tells me several things. It tells me you're not very well acquainted with the people that you're supposed to be praying for. You're unaware and probably unconcerned about their real needs. Feeling this, a long time ago, I began to search the scriptures for knowledge of how to pray one for another. And if you will turn with me to Ephesians, the first chapter, we'll begin to get a picture of how we are to pray one for another. And I'm going to turn this thing on when I'm halfway through. Ephesians 1. Breaking in a new Bible. And it's not doing well. It does not cooperate. Pages stick together. But Ephesians 1, the apostle prayed for the church, the people of Africa, said this. There, in verse 15, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you. That's one thing you need to do. We're always asking God, we are seldom thanking Him, and I thank Him almost daily for many of you in this church. It impacted my life. I had an opportunity to mix with you and maybe, perhaps, I hope so, impacted your life. The Apostle Paul far away now, writing to the Christians at Ephesus, said, I thank God for every remembrance of you. In all of our praying, do not forget to thank God. And by the way, if you tell God that you thank Him for the brothers and sisters and their impact on your life, it wouldn't hurt for you to tell them. It would encourage them. If they blessed your life, tell them so. A number of years ago, I came to an awakening that I had many people who had impacted my life, and I had never really expressed my thanks to them, nor to God. So I began to thank God, but I began to thank them personally. And after all, we are to encourage one another. I had a letter 2 weeks ago, a letter from a girl at a distant speed. And she said, you may not remember me. She was right, I didn't. Said, you performed our wedding ceremony 42 years ago. And you said some things, and she repeated those vows to me. She said, I want you to know we listen, and we still listening to you and God and that. You don't know how that meant to me, that we're happily married today. It was encouraging to me. And so you need to thank God, and then you need to thank the people that have impacted your life. So he said, I give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. Here's what he prayed for. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. When you pray for a prayer, oh yes, I appreciate your prayers about these crippled knees and the trembling hands, but listen, I can get along with that. I need knowledge and wisdom of Him. I need the Holy Spirit daily to be my teacher, to help me understand what's written in this book. And as you pray for one another, pray for a spirit of wisdom and knowledge that people might be impacted by this holy word, that they will have the Spirit's help and understanding and applying the word to their own heart and life. Not only that, he says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power for us who believe. I don't have time to cover all that, but we need, above all else in the churches today, to catch a new vision, to understand, for God to teach us, show us His great power. Because I'm convinced that the world around us is looking for a church that will dare to do something that for Him and for His glory, that people cannot do within themselves. They want to see us doing a God thing. And we need to understand His power. All we profess to know a God who is all powerful, can do all things. But you know, we don't really believe it. I can prove it to you. Let God begin to reveal to the modern church today of what He wants done for His kingdom. You know, the first place most of the people will look, bottom line, the church. And we can't do it. And they're right, we can't. But the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, new vision of a God who is greater within us than all that is about. And we need to pray for one another that we have a vision of the greatness, power of Almighty God. We need not only that, but we need our understanding. We need enlightenment from God. We need to know what is the hope of this call, and then what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe the Lord is working of His mighty power. And then He gives us an illustration. He gives us a word picture of that great power. We talk about power. He said, I pray that you might catch a vision of His power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Whew, that's powerful. Imagine. Dead 3 days. Sister says, He's speaking by now. Lazarus. 40. Dead 3 days, and they go to the tomb to anoint his body. And an angel makes the announcement, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, he's not here. As one late person said, he stepped out. He's gone. He's raised from the dead. That took power. For 20-something years, I lived in the city of power. That place has been threatened all this past week by the flames set by lightning on the train. And they tell me, and you, some of you heard me say this before, they told me that nuclear power could burn a hole through the Rocky Mountains. You wouldn't have to shore it up because the power would melt the elements of salt and everything into solid rock. Do it big enough to run a freight train through. That's power. And it's power that can kill people. But it won't raise one from the grave. Jesus, the resurrection power. The world needs to see that great power. And Jesus expresses himself above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. I tell you, he's telling you that the microphone is not on, and my thumb just won't turn it on. Anybody having any trouble hearing? All right, just listen to the old man for a minute. Turn over with me to the third chapter. For this reason, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is by name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. We pray that people have some spiritual background, that they have strength beyond themselves to meet all of the situations of life and to be more than conquerors in everything that comes along. That we might be strengthened not with vitamin B or B or C, but with the Holy Spirit we might be strengthened with all might by His power in the inner man. Have you prayed lately for the deacons of this church, for the pastor, staff, for one another, your Sunday school class, by name, asking that they be strengthened with the power of God. I want you to know God needs some strong people in America. Strong people who have the courage to stand up. Strong people who have the wisdom to know what's needed. Holy like the Lord giving a picture of what God wants to happen in every life. People strengthened with all might by His power in an inner man. And if you'll come back tonight, I'll speak up for a moment. I when you ask God for something, do you ask specifically? Do you ask that His will be done in the life of each church member here? Listen, I started by saying this, the greatest thing you can do for America today is to pray for the Christian people of America. Because if there is any hope for America today, it's not in Washington, D.C. or those who represent us or lead us there. It's not in great armies. It's not in spending more money. It's in God's people. Humble ourselves. And real prayer. Pray to God for our nation. Pray to God for our nation's people. Pray to God for one another. I hope you're saying prayer. And could I say this one thing more? Prayer is not just getting down on your knees or holding your hands up or whatever position in prayer you take, and I'm not here to criticize any of it. Prayer is conversation with God. You are getting alongside of them, Jesus. Like this lady took her husband to the doctor and said, "Doctor, my husband has a bad malady. He needs help. What's the matter? He can't hear." And she went on for about 10 minutes. She said, "He's cursed." With the poor hearing. He said, "Lady, I don't think he's cursed. I think he's blessed." God. So you can speak to God and He can hear you above the room. If it's too much going on around you, you won't hear Him. And God, in your prayer time, wants to speak to you. And one more thing. A lot of times, we ask Him about something, and if we can hear Him, probably hear Him say, "I'm glad you finally woke up to that. I've been concerned about that all along. Now, here's what I want you to do." You're done with it. You're here to speak to you. Pray for America. And for not. Let me say this. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God will use that power that raised Him from the grave to make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. So radically different than the life you now know about Him. So the only way Jesus could describe Nicodemus was to be born again. You become a new person. He wants to make you that new person in Christ today. He wants to give you life far above the ordinary. And there's just one way for you to have it. There's one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Come and receive Him today into your life and know the joy of the Holy Spirit within. Know the privilege of the door to heaven wide open to you. You have access to Him for all your needs and the needs of others. And so I beg you this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus, would you bow your head right now? And will you say to Him, "Lord, I believe that You're the Christ, You're God. I believe that You lived upon this earth in the form of man, that You defeated sin in the flesh, and You took my sin to Calvary's cross and died in my place, and that You arose again from the dead. And so today I come to commit my life to You, asking You to forgive me of my sin, cleanse my life, make that new person in Christ, I accept you as Lord, so you can direct my life for the rest of my time here on earth. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you prayed that prayer as a lost person today, don't go away without confessing him before men. For with the heart, mankind believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made to him. He has said, if you will confess that I am the Christ, if you'll call upon me as your Lord, you shall be saved. No ifs, ands, and maybes about it. Jesus will save you right now. So come this morning and open the confession. Maybe on this 235th birthday of our nation, we can. You need to play the step of duty to God. You need to be one of those that humble himself. And he prays. And he seeks his face. And turns from you to wicked ways. So that the Lord might hear from heaven. Forgive our sins, your sins. And repeat them our way. If that's your need today, the word to Malachi. Return unto me. And I will return unto you. Let Jesus have his way in your life. As we pray, and then, as we stand, they just play a verse or two, then station him. You come with your decision this day. Father God, this is your moment. We want you to have complete control. Full sway in every life for that one who trusts in Jesus. Give them that kind of courage that Jesus had when he carried the cross the thought about this hill. Give us the humility to honor him.